At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from the Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
A warmer Philly low. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And it is good to be back, guys, as it gets started at 3 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Wednesday. The baseball season is back in our lives, and I'll be with you guys every single day in which we've got games on this show, which means I'm going to do these next 2 days with regards to the podcast, take about a week or so hiatus, and then once we're back for opening day, March 28th, I'll be back with you guys daily from there on out all throughout the baseball season, and we do have a tremendous podcast for you. Here in segment number one, I'll let you guys just know how I operate a little bit in terms of my baseball style. It's very similar to my college basketball style. You're not going to be getting a whole bunch of futures or anything like that, though I will be bringing on a guest on the podcast tomorrow to talk about some futures, season win totals, some of the things that we're taking a look at on that front. So while I do not do it, I recognize that many of you guys do, so I will be serving that market on this podcast tomorrow. Have no fear there. Well, today we are going to be welcoming on one of our favorites, Danny Vietti. He does great work over at CBS Sports and going to be discussing some of the teams that he's a little bit bullish and bearish on coming into the season. Also just going to be discussing this Korean series in general between the San Diego Padres and the LA Dodgers. Just what to expect out of the game flow in general, as it is very strange, in which we do have the season starting out in a foreign land. We do it every few years. Like, I still remember the Japan series that we saw between Oakland and Seattle a few years ago. I think they started the season in Australia once as well. That was many years ago. Feels like once every 4 or 5 years we get one of these sort of series to kick off the season. This year it's out there in lovely South Korea. And for those that followed the KBO like I did during the 2020 season, the KBO was so kind to us. The people out there in South Korea certainly do love their baseball. So this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to take a look at the tenor there. We're also going to be talking with them about some of these pitchers that are unsigned. At the time that we had recorded, Blake Snell was unsigned. He actually signs with the San Francisco Giants late on Monday. So big haul for them. Also part of that as well that I will not be taking out, because at the time Blake Snell was unsigned, but question becomes, is Blake Snell going to be ready for opening day? Is there going to be any sort of a tune-up or ramp-up time for guys like Key, Jordan Montgomery, some of these other free agents? I do think that that's very top of mind. We're going to take a look at just the NL landscape in general with him. And then in the final segment, going to get you guys picks and analysis for this first game of the MLB season between the Dodgers and the Padres as we touch them all. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter / X timeline at @JNN_D1. Keep in mind, learners, DM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. Other ways, via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire on whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And just like during the college basketball season, I will be using the spreadsheet system once again when it comes to baseball. And I try to put the key down on there for just a game that is coming up that day. So that way you're able to get an actual live example of what I'm going to be taking a look at that day. Like, For example, we've got the Dodgers and the Padres. That is going to be the first game of the year. I have set my line at a minus 166 with the Dodgers being a favorite. So when I put that on the spreadsheet, that means at a minus 165 or less, I find value on the money line with the LA Dodgers. At a minus 167 or more, it would not have value. And there are some times at certain books, you're just not going to have a play on a game. And in those sort of circumstances, I just shop the line a little bit. I wait to have the number move because in baseball, even if it's just a few pennies, you are going to be seeing these lines move. But the next time I see a baseball game where there's not even a single cent of line movement, where there's just absolutely nothing that happens, for one, it's probably a game that got put up 5 minutes beforehand, because like three times a year, you'll have a pitcher just get ruled out due to injury, due to like a bullpen session leading up to it. I mean, you'll get like one of those oddities every single year, but that said, you're always going to have a little bit of line movement here, and I just shop the line. I just find a way to be like, okay, this book has minus 170. This book has minus 160. I'm able to take a shot on the minus 160, which typically when it comes to these shockier money lines, I personally take a look at the run line personally. Like in terms of the Dodgers versus Padres game on that run line, I set the Dodgers run line at a minus 113. So if I'd be getting a minus 112 or less laying a run and a half, I'd be willing to take it at minus 114 or more. No value there. And then on the flip side, that means that with the Padres, the Dodgers being a minus 166 favorite, I set them at a plus 166. So at plus 167 or more, that's where I find value with the Padres. And then I set a total of an 8.8. So 8.5 or less would be looking at the over, 9 or higher to the under. And this is a little bit contingent on the juice. At minus 110 juice is the way that I look at it. And at times, I will take a half a run greater or less when it comes to the run total, because you are going to be finding a little bit more juice with that. Like if they set a total of 8.5 in terms of the runs, that would put me on an over. But let's say it's at like minus 140, minus 145. That's gone too far. And because the differential is so small between that 8.5 and a 9, that would be a circumstance where I would be willing to take a look at that 8.5 under and be able to get like a plus 110, plus 115 on that under, because all of a sudden I don't need to hit 50% of my bets to be able to make money on that under. And I do think that the juice is very important. Like when people talk about baseball and the way that they're betting it, you don't want to just take a look at their win percentage, because if you're just taking the Dodgers money line every single day for the entirety of the season, guess what? You're going to have a pretty good record. But if the Dodgers go like 90 wins or something like that, and you lay the Dodgers money line every single day, you're actually going to lose a whole bunch of money if they were to only win 90 games. You're probably going to need them to win 105 plus games just to even hope to being able to break even, just because they are so badly taxed. So I do think that that's so important to take a look at. And when it comes to just my plays in general, on this podcast, I'm going to give you guys my reasoning for every single one of these plays every single day. You're always going to need to note that it's subject to a little bit of pitching changes, but I do go full game. I am not someone that dives into the first five, just because for me personally, I've never found success betting first fives. A lot of my betting style when it comes to baseball is taking a look at these bullpens. I do think that when you have a good understanding of these bullpens, knowing what guys are sort of going when, knowing whether a guy can go for a back-to-back, whether or not a guy cannot go for a back-to-back, how many pitches he's thrown for the week, there is great value in that. And I go into that sort of depth when it comes to taking a look at baseball, because with baseball, it is really the sport that I dedicate myself to in the spring and summer months. The only real overlap is here now that we've got the NCAA tournament up and running, and in college basketball, it's not like we've got these 100 million billion slates that we were having before, where, I mean, for those of you guys that know college basketball betting, when it comes to January and February, those Saturday slates, my goodness gracious, it's a monstrosity. So now that we're eased up with that regard and we're going to be done before we know it with regards to college basketball, I'm able to dedicate so much time to baseball, so I do look at that as well. And like I said, I'm personally not a futures player when it comes to baseball, and for each their own on that front. If you're willing to tie up your money, if you think that you've got a great read with regards to the season win total, by all means, bet it. And I mean, this just goes into my philosophy with betting any single sport. If you find success betting something, don't let anyone else tell you otherwise and try to convince you, oh, what you're doing is wrong. If you're making money, what you're doing is right. Don't let anyone else do anything else to steer you away from that. Anyone else that is trying to do so is just trying to make themselves feel good about themselves. Because, like, I'm someone that I absolutely hate parlays. You're never going to hear me give out a parlay on this podcast. If you're someone that's making a lot of money with your parlays, if you like betting them and you're having success with it, keep on doing it. Now, if you're betting parlays and you're losing your shirt betting these parlays, then I would recommend maybe a little bit of a different approach. If you're not having success with it, then we need to talk a little bit more. But if you're having success with it, by all means, ride it out. And like I said, I'll be with you guys every single day. Now, for the podcast that is going to be coming out for Game 2, that might be more of an evening podcast. This is going to be a podcast that comes out much like the college basketball podcast, typically at midnight Pacific, 3 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time daily. This sort of Korean series, this is going to be a little bit of an exception just because these games start at 3 a.m. Pacific time, 6 a.m. Eastern, and I would hate to post up a podcast like 3 hours before first pitch being like, oh, if you miss it, you snooze, you lose, or something like that. Then you just have a little bit of an issue on that front, but expect this podcast to be up daily. You're able to set your alarm. I always like to have consistency with these podcasts. Like when you turn on your favorite sitcom, if you're not watching it on Netflix or something like that, if you're watching it on like a actual cable network, TBS, CBS, what have you, like you expect to have The Simpsons to be on the same time every week. You expect insert your favorite show here to be on at the same time every single week. You should expect your podcast to be on at the same time every single day. You know when to expect it. You can set your watch to it. So hopefully that cleared up any questions that you did have. Now let's dive into our chat with Danny Vietti. He does amazing work over at CBS Sports, taking a look at this great game that we all know and love. You're able to follow him on his Twitter/X feed at Danny Vietti. That last name spelled V-I-E-T-T-I. He also does a great job with his own podcast, the Wake and Rake podcast. You're able to catch that wherever you find podcasts. He does that with Will Middlebrooks. They do an absolutely amazing job there. And Danny, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, always a pleasure to join. Good to have baseball back in our lives again.
Oh, it is great to have this tremendous game back. And first things first, before we dive in on some of these teams, before we dive in on what we're going to be seeing in terms of Dodgers versus Padres out there in South Korea, the elephant in the room, and this might change by the time this podcast uploads, it's the fact that Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, and a few others remain unsigned. Just what do you attribute this to? And will someone like a Blake Snell, like a Jordan Montgomery, if they don't get signed soon, be ready to go when a team signs them, or would there need to be a little bit of a ramp-up period?
Yeah, there's a lot of different angles to the Montgomery-Snell free agency spell. I'll start here. So if you look at what the experts, and by experts I mean analysts, writers, you know, people within the business were projecting before the offseason. If you look at any article, any projection, if you look at Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, Cody Bellinger, those were guys that weren't necessarily your tier one players, but they were kind of a step down from tier one. But by that same token, most people thought they were going to get 100, 200, maybe even 200 plus in Blake Snell's case, $1 million. That has not been the case. Cody Bellinger, he ended up getting a 3-year deal with a couple player options, far from what he was hoping to get, which was probably between $150, $200 million. Jordan Montgomery, unsigned. Blake Snell, still unsigned. Matt Chapman signed very similar to Bellinger, kind of more of a team-friendly deal with some player opt-outs. So the guaranteed money has been there for the tier one free agents. It has not been there for the tier two, tier three free agents for the most part. And now we're seeing Blake Snell and those discussions ramp up a little bit. There was a report that came out that the Houston Astros are involved. We'll see how that plays out. But the market for Snell, as free agency continued on, just really shrunk. You consider the Padres, they're cutting payroll. The Giants were considered to be one of the teams that were going to be interested in his services. The Giants, once they signed Chapman, they said, you know, we're pretty much done for the offseason. You thought the Yankees would get involved, especially when the injury to Gerrit Cole came out, but they got some good news there. They're hoping he's going to be back after a month, 2 months into the season. And the Seattle Mariners, they don't seem to be really, one, willing to extend that payroll more than it already is, and they already have 5 starting pitchers under team control for the next 3-4 years. So they really don't have much need for Blake Snell. So it's been interesting to see how these tier two free, I say tier two, Blake Snell, you know, he won the Cy Young last year. He's the best pitcher in the National League as voted upon last year. So I'm probably not doing him a good service by saying he's tier two, but that's what we've seen so far, at least when it comes to how teams are viewing these players in free agency.
Yeah, it has been so intriguing because with Blake Snell, I do feel like he got a little bit fortunate last year because he walked a bunch of guys and he stranded the world. But at the same time, got to be doing something right if you're winning a Cy Young Award, you're getting all those strikeouts. So I do think that that is going to be intriguing to watch. And his former team in the San Diego Padres might become his current team when it's all said and done. But that said, they are going to be playing out there in South Korea. As joining me on the show, we do have Danny Vandy, who does great work over at CBS Sports. And I do want to talk about this because for the San Diego Padres, they are going to be throwing Yu Darvish game number one. Makes all the sense in the world. He pitched out there in Japan on the continent of Asia. Give him that opening day start. He's been a workhorse all throughout his career. That's intriguing. But what is going to be intriguing as well is the number two and number threes for the Padres, because they actually made a very late move getting Dylan Cease about a week or so ago. Just what do you make out of the San Diego Padres right now? Because they drew trade away Juan Soto. It looked like they were going to slash payroll, and then they make this big move for Dylan Cease to be able to bolster that rotation.
And they were able to get Dylan Cease without having to give up any of their really marquee minor leaguers. They're still going to have Jackson Merrill, who is their top prospect. They're hoping that he could be not just a prospect for him this year, but really be one of their starting outfielders, because there's a need out there in the outfield. So it wasn't just the acquisition of Dylan Cease. It was really the package that it took to get Dylan Cease. When you consider the fact that you have team control of Cease for another two seasons, Cease isn't going to hit free agency until before the 2026 season. And so you're going to have some arbitration years to deal with, but that's anything but long-term. You know, that's going to be 1 year, probably depending on how he performs, somewhere between $20 and $30 million, which the Padres are certainly capable of affording that. So you look at that rotation: Darvish, Musgrove, Dylan Cease, Michael King, and it's still a question mark of number five, could be Waldron. It's a good rotation. But the problem is that it's just a very competitive division this year. I think San Francisco made moves this offseason that are probably overlooked a little bit just because of the power moves that the Dodgers did this offseason with Otani and Yamamoto and Glasnow. Deservedly so. So it's a competitive division this year. Like, the Padres are a competitive team. I think Tatis is healthy, and if he can stay healthy for 162, he's absolutely going to be an MVP candidate. He has that talent. I love the move for Cease, especially when you consider he is under team control for another couple of years. So a good team, definitely going to be in the spotlight here this next week with them playing on the big stage in South Korea, them and the Dodgers. So it should be fun to watch.
Oh, it certainly should be. And I do want to ask you about the specific game itself, because we do know that it's going to be Tyler Glasnow and Yu Darvish who are going to be taking the mound opening day. And these two teams are going to be traveling over there a little bit ahead of time. And this is going to be a game that is going to be played a full week before the official opening day. That is March 28th. So these guys are going to be able to rest up after they do play this two-game series. But what should we expect out of this game out there in South Korea? Because we've seen some of these games out there in, like, London. We saw the Mexico City series where nobody could keep the ball in the yard in general. But I take a look at this being played at the Sky Dome in South Korea, and I feel like we're going to get a more natural game of baseball than we've seen when things go to, like, Mexico City and London, where the balls are flying out left and right.
The way the ball is flying, yes, I would agree with you. The way the game's going to be played, for lack of a better term, logistically or by the numbers, by the names, I think it's just going to look it's going to mirror kind of like spring training. Like, they're going to extend their starting pitchers to probably 80, 90 pitches at most, but you're going to see a heavy dive of just relief arms in this series. It's a long 162 game season. Nothing is going to be won in South Korea this upcoming week. I think it's going to be good baseball, but these teams, although they went to spring training about a week before the rest of the teams, it's not like they were just playing a bunch of competitive baseball a week before the rest of the teams. It was more so they were starting training, they were getting in shape. So I think there's just going to be some rust to be shooken off by both squads. So I think it's just going to be a lot of relief arms. Your starting pitchers probably aren't going to be pitching deep in the ball games. I think from the team's perspective, anytime you're going into a new situation, your best case scenario is to come out of there healthy. So I think both teams going into this, knowing that it was an expedited spring training for both squads, knowing the travel time that was included, knowing it's unfamiliar territory on both sides, I think both teams are going to go into this just trying to get out of there as healthy as possible.
Yep, I think that that is such a big key to be able to note as well, because it's not just this series as well. You notice that every single year in Major League Baseball, these starting pitchers, if you find one that goes north of 80 pitches, that's a big-time rarity in this day and age. This is not the 1970s where we're going to see Nolan Ryan throwing nine innings day number one. We're going to be seeing a lot of relief arms, so I'm so glad that you do bring that up, as Danny Vietti, who does amazing work over at CBS Sports, is joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And I do want to ask you about that as well, because there is a little bit of a different tenor when it comes to these early season games. And it's not just the series in South Korea, as I was alluding to. Just all across the league, we're going to see these starters start one, start two. They're not going to be going their full allotment of pitches. When it comes to these first few games of the season, do you give a little bit of an advantage to these pitchers because there are going to be a lot of fresh arms out there, or do you give it a little bit more to these hitters in that they aren't going to have to face off against a starting pitcher that might be just at their full forces, for lack of a better term, with regards to their velocity, and it takes them a game or two to get into rhythm as well?
You would think that. But we thought that last year, what's going on with the actual composition of the baseball is Major League Baseball juicing the baseballs once more. History tells us that typically pitchers have the advantage early on because it takes hitters time to get their timing down. But last year was a little bit of a different story. And the facts showed that Major League Baseball has had some sort of impact on the composition of a baseball. We'll see what it looks like this year. I mean, you look at the studies around, Washington Post did one either last year or the year before, and they looked at the actual composition of a baseball last year compared to years prior. And the facts show, like, the composition of baseball has changed over time. So what baseball are we going to get here in 2024? That remains to be seen. And it could be, you know, if the ball starts flying in April, kind of like it was last year, I'm sure we're going to get those same conversations yet again.
Yep, and I do think that that is so important to take note of as well. And as we know, last year as well, we had the rule changes as well, which I do think that that played quite a bit of a role in what we were seeing as well. And now that we aren't having as dramatic of rule changes and everything like that, we should see things be a little bit more hunkered down on that front. And Danny, certainly with the Dodgers and the Padres doing battle to begin the season, do want to talk a little bit about the National League and just some of the teams that you are bullish / bearish on, because I do think that the Padres, they certainly are an intriguing team out there. And if you're looking from a betting perspective at their win total, this is going to change a little bit perhaps by the time the podcast uploads, but that's currently at an 83.5. And I do think that with what they did, they should be able to get over that. But are there a few teams that you're looking at in the National League that either there's good expectations for them and you think that they're going to not live up to them? Or is there perhaps a team or two out there that you're taking a look at and you're thinking, man, why is this team not getting the love that they deserve?
Yeah, I'll actually start by begging for forgiveness here, because I talked about the National League West earlier when you brought up the Padres. I mentioned the Giants, the Dodgers, and obviously the Padres. I didn't even mention the National League reigning champion, Arizona Diamondbacks, who had a very, very strong offseason and were far way ahead of schedule last season. You're going to have Corbin Carroll, who was 21 years old last year, coming back. They brought in Eduardo Rodriguez, Jock Peterson, Randall Grichuk. They made some, maybe not any tier one offseason moves, but a lot of tier three platoon options that are really going to just reinforce that lineup. And I say ahead of schedule, I mentioned Corbin Carroll was 21 years old. Brendan Faught last year was brought up midseason. Really never got comfortable until he got to the postseason. So he's now going to have a full season that he's heading into with experience under his belt as well. Teams that I'm kind of bullish on, I say this just because I think the National League Central is wide open and I really like the Pittsburgh Pirates lineup. Am I saying that the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to go on to win the 2024 World Series, the National League Central Division? No, I'm not going to go that far. But when you look at what O'Neill Cruz has done in his short time at the big league level, he's crushing the baseball. He's leading the league in home runs this spring training. The rest of their lineup, Henry Davis, former number one overall pick. They still have Andrew McCutchen. They still have Jack Sawinski. They still have David Bednar in the bullpen, who is arguably one of the better closers in the National League. Starting pitching-wise, that's where I'm questioning things. They're going to have some arms step up in Pittsburgh, probably starting with Paul Skeens, albeit he will start the season in AAA, another former number one overall pick. They're probably going to have some guys like that, Marco Gonzalez, Martin Perez, really step up and be able to eat some innings. But when you look at the Pittsburgh Pirates lineup, and then you compare it to other teams in the National League Central, a Brewers team who won the division last year, they're, if not rebuilding, they're definitely retooling. The St. Louis Cardinals, they finished in last place last year. Chicago Cubs made some solid moves this offseason, but inevitably missed the playoffs last year. They brought, they have a new manager this year as well. I think anything is but certain in the National League Central. I really do think that there is a window of opportunity for a team that is willing to step up and everything clicks. And I think the Pittsburgh Pirates, lineup-wise in particular, really do have an opportunity to turn things around.
Yep, I do think that there's a bit of upside with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and I'm so glad that you mentioned Paul Skenes. That guy, when I watched him in the College Baseball World Series, he was absolutely incredible. That guy is going to be a stud for a long time to come. Just a matter of, is it going to be a year too early this year? Is it going to be next year? But the Pirates, they are coming around, and I'm so glad that you do mention the Milwaukee Brewers, since I'm someone from the great state of Wisconsin, and I was not too happy about the trade that they made with our good friend Corbin Burns out being with the Baltimore Orioles. I felt like they should have gotten more out of him. I take a look at Brandon Woodruff, most likely being out for the year. They trade away Mark Canna. Just where do the Brewers go from here? Because they've got some young players I like. Aaron Ashby coming back, I think, is going to be very big. But not having Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns at the front, really it being Freddie Peralta, Devin Williams in the back end, I take a look at this Brewers team, and I think it might be rough for them in an NL Central that, let's call it what it is, it feels actually quite winnable, even though I do think that the Cincinnati Reds are a team that's going to be on the come up this year as well.
I failed to mention the Reds. That's a great point. I think Milwaukee's just at a point in the cycle, right? They do this every few years. They're kind of like Oakland, you know, like they're going to be competitive, and that might be a stretch to compare them to Oakland. I don't mean disrespect when I'm talking about ownership here, but when you talk about payroll wise and just how they operate, they really rely on their farm system. They've never signed a guy any more expensive than Christian Yelich before. This is a team now where you have Willie Adames, who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Corbin Burns, you mentioned, was going to be a free agent at the end of the season. They discarded him. Freddie Peralta, he still has some team control left. He's got some options that's approaching. But I think at this point, like I said, I think it's more, if not a rebuild, it's definitely a retool. With that being said, I say that the National League Central is wide open. That's not just for the Pirates. It's not just for the Cubs. So if these young players from Milwaukee do, your Bryce Terangs of the world, Garrett Mitchells of the world, if they do step up and, you know, start to get comfortable at the dish and find a little bit of spark, I say that the National League Central is wide open, not just for the Pirates, but for the rest of the teams in that division.
Yeah, it is so intriguing, because with the Chicago Cubs, the way that Justin Steele was able to pitch towards back half of the season last year, that's big. And I know that a lot of people are making a lot out of Marcus Stroman being out of the fold, but I mean, towards the second half of the year, they really didn't have him to start with. So I do look at that Cubs team as being one of very much intriguing as well. You mentioned the fact that Cody Bellinger, he surprisingly is back in the fold for them. That's massive for that Cubs team that was able to come on strong towards the back half of the season. And the NL Central is going to be fun to look at. It's going to be fun to just take a look at this great game of baseball in general. And Danny, I know you, much like myself, going to be up at like 3 a.m. Pacific time to watch the first game of the year on Wednesday between the Padres and the Dodgers. You do amazing work. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you, and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, stay up with us late night after dark. CBSSports.com. And everything podcast-wise at Wake and Rake Pod.
I think the only question is it after dark or is it for the crack of dawn? Because that's essentially what's going to be happening with the games out there in South Korea. It's going to be a fun time. Danny does such a good job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of baseball. And every single time he joins this podcast, lends tremendous insight. So big thanks to him for joining me on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the Visa Family Podcast. And coming up next, we've got one game on the board. It's pretty much the opener of the season. Dodgers versus Padres. Get started at 3 a.m. I've got picks and analysis as we touch them all.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. we host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Great to be joined by Danny Vietti. He does such great work over at CBS Sports and the Wake and Rake Podcast. Was a pleasure to have him aboard. It is great that baseball is back in our lives, and it's always great to be able to get him on. So big thanks to Danny for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Wednesday. It's very early Baseball Wednesday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter /X feed at @GNN_E1. Well, it's very easy to go in Las Vegas rotation order when you've got one game up, so let's dive in. 9:31, 9:32 on the card. It's the LA Dodgers. They hit the road. They're facing off against the Slam Diego Padres. Yu Darvish goes for the Padres. Tyler Glasnow, not to be confused with Oppenheimer, is going to be going for the Dodgers. And the Dodgers are between minus 190 to minus 205 favorites. Between plus 170 and plus 175, your number on the pods. Total on this game is 8.5. Mostly seen between minus 115 to minus 120. Juice on the over. The under is anywhere between even money and minus 105. And if you're looking at the run line, you would have to lay minus 120 with minus a run and a half with the Dodgers. And I was only willing to lay up to minus 113 with the run line of the Dodgers. And I set the Dodgers at a minus 166. So getting about a plus 170, seeing a few plus 175s out there, I'm going to be willing to take that money line with the San Diego Padres. Now, I will say this before I go any further. This is not the time to go all in with your bankroll. We've got ourselves, games are being played in a location where I don't think we've seen baseball games played in north of a decade. Well, we see KBO games played here, but Major League Baseball games do not get played here very often. So this is not the time to go buck wild. You have a lot of time to be able to bet baseball. You're going to have plenty of opportunities. Don't feel like because this is the first one, this is your last opportunity. No, it's not. You've got a lot that is going to be coming up moving forward. But I do think that for you, Darvish, after he had his struggles last year, I mean, he had north of a 4.5 ERA. He was getting it harder really than ever before. I do think that he's going to be able to bounce back a little bit more this year. Last year, he was giving up about 1.3, 1.4 home runs per 9 innings. It is very difficult to go up against the LA Dodgers, but even with Yu Darvish just not being able to get out there for overly long last season. He had two starts against the LA Dodgers, and he gave up two runs or fewer in both of those starts. So that does speak to me a little bit. He has been much more successful against the Dodgers than most other pitchers. Now, obviously, he was involved in that World Series many, many years ago. But, I mean, for Yu Darvish, he looked relatively okay in spring training. It does feel like everything is starting to come back to him. He's at 37 years old. So the velocity that you saw from him years ago, it's probably not going to be there this season. But he's still an advanced pitcher that I think is going to be able to do a relatively rock-solid job. And then you've got a guy in Tyler Glasnow that I do have to wonder how he's going to be coming into the season, because typically he's coming into a season midstream with all the injuries that he's had throughout his career. Now, this guy is absolutely rock solid when it comes to being able to get strikeouts. Like last season, his strikeouts per nine rate was right around about 12.2. His fielding independent was a 2.91, not representative of his 3.53 ERA. So, I mean, he does a tremendous job on that front. That said, I just don't think that either of these guys are going to be going very far. It speaks to what Danny Vietti was mentioning a little bit before. Typically, start number one of the season, you're going to see these starting pitchers go 70, 75 pitches. It might even be less on this front. And for the San Diego Padres, they do have the lesser bullpen in this game. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, but I liked what I saw out of someone like a Tom Cosgrove towards the back half of last season. He posted up a sub-2 ERA. They've been able to revamp things quite a bit with regards to the pitching rotation in general. You're going to be probably having Adrian Morahone be a nice bullpen piece for this team. Robert Suarez, after he was awful towards the beginning part of last season, he was pretty good down the stretch. And for the LA Dodgers, this team was a top three team with regards to their bullpen last season, and I love the addition of J.P. FireEisen. J.P. FireEisen is one of my favorite bullpen pieces. And then Ryan Brazier, he was awful with the Red Sox last season. When he put on Dodger Blue, he posted up a sub-250 ERA. You've got Danny Hudson back in the fold. So the Dodgers are pretty locked and loaded with regards to their bullpen, but this is going to be a game that's going to be played out there at the Sky Dome. That's where the Kiwoom Heroes do play in. When it comes to the ballpark dimensions, I mean, you've got down the lines, these fences being out at about 325 or so feet. Might be a little bit more complex than what I'm trying to put it in for the podcast, but I mean, these are not super deep fences. Now, this is not going to be Mexico City. Like this, we've seen some of these games out there in Mexico City. We saw the games out there in London where the ball is flying out left and right. This is an actual baseball park. This is not some bandbox or anything like that, but at the same time, I do think that it's going to play a little bit more to the hitters. Typically, hitters are a little bit behind these pitchers, but at the same time, I mean, have you seen the LA Dodgers lineup? They hit in one of the most pitcher-friendly ballparks in all of baseball. You've got Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts back in the fold. Now, Mookie Betts is going to be making the adjustment over to shortstop. I think that that could have a little bit of an impact on the defense, but I mean, this is Mr. Limitless. He does such a tremendous job on that front. Wherever he plays, he's going to be just fine. And for the LA Dodgers, you've got many of the pieces back from a season ago where they were the top team in all of baseball in terms of walks drawn on a per at-bat basis. But what a lot of people don't recognize is that the Padres were number two. Now, with the Padres, now much of that was because you did have Juan Soto in the fold, who always has a really good eye at the plate. But at the same time, this is a Padres team that they did bring in someone like an Eddie Rosario. Is he going to be Juan Soto? Oh, heck no. But at the same time, he's a relatively solid batter, and I really like what Ha-Sung Kim was able to provide this team towards the back half of the season last year. He was one of the most complete players and was one of your war leaders in all of baseball. I do think that Xander Bogaerts is going to be able to recover after last year. I'm not going to say that it was a terrible year. He had 285 with 19 home runs, but I mean, it wasn't the typical Xander Bogaerts that we're used to seeing. I think that he's going to be able to provide a little bit more with that front. Jake Cronenworth was down last season as well, and now you've got a fully healthy Fernando Tatis Jr. as well. So I do think that both of these teams are going to be able to hit relatively well with the LA Dodgers. I mean, you've got a team that was towards the top of the league with regards to home runs, and always be mindful of this. When you take a look at the San Diego Padres in terms of their overall offensive numbers, they're always bogged down a little bit because I was talking about the Dodgers and how they're typically able to hit despite the fact that they play at Chavez Ravine. Well, you want to talk about a pitcher-friendly ballpark. You always have it when it comes to Petco Park and with the San Diego Padres. If you take a look at their home and road splits last season, they were some of the biggest in all of baseball. Like, when the Padres got away from home, this was one of the better offenses in all of baseball. They averaged just 4.35 runs per game at home. When they were away from home, north of 4.9 runs per contest. As a matter of fact, out there in the National League, the only teams that scored more runs per game away from home were the Dodgers, the Cincinnati Reds, and the Atlanta Braves. So I do think that you're going to get a little bit of a higher scoring affair, despite despite the fact that the Dodgers do have a little bit of a better bullpen. Personally, I do think that Yu Darvish is going to be able to bounce back a little bit more here. I do think that with the Padres not having Josh Hader, that's going to be a little bit of an issue towards the back half of the bullpen. He is now elsewhere, so that's not great to say the least, but I do think that Robert Suarez could be able to pick it up from his season ago. I feel like north of plus 170, it's just gone a little bit too far. Big motivational game here for Yu Darvish, who began his career pitching out there in Japan, so he's back on his home continent, and I do think that this is going to be a big spot for him. I think that the crowd gets behind him, and I think that we've got some value here with the Padres. So you're at an 8.5, getting that at about minus 115. I'm willing to lay the minus 115 on the over, and with regards to the Padres, I'm going to be willing to take that plus 170, and that'll wrap things up for the first podcast of the year. This is going to be the early slash mid-Tuesday podcast right here for the Baseball Betting Show. A big thanks to Danny Vietti, who does tremendous work over at CBS Sports. He joined me in the last segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, whatever you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter slash X timeline, at @JNR41. Keep in mind, Lars Eum, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please send these into the timeline. Otherwise, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And every day we do have games this baseball season. I will be with you, so I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Then we're going to take a week of hiatus, and then we're back full bore every single day for that March 28th opening day. So I appreciate you tuning in today, and I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.